afterward. I had always wanted to write something about the Vienna Circle. With my background, it was almost inevitable. Already as a schoolboy, I fell for Ludwig Wittgenstein's Tractatus, and knew many of its pages by heart, which does not mean, of course, that I understood them in the least. As a student at the University of Vienna, I attended lectures by Béla Juhos, the only member of the Vienna Circle who still taught at the Institute of Philosophy. His colleagues did their best to make life hell for the old gentleman. Later, as a professor of mathematics, I had my office on the same corridor as the lecture room where the Schlick Circle had held its meetings, and I was a regular in the coffee houses where they had held their lively discussions. Today the lecture room is a quantum physics laboratory, and most of the coffee houses have closed their doors. Almost every day I walk by the Berggasse, or the Strudelhof staircase, with all their intimate links to Freud and Döderer's Vienna of yore. When I worked on statistical mechanics, my window opened on the Boltzmanngasse. When I later turned to game theory, my address became Oskar Morgenstern Platz. A few of my elder colleagues were able to tell me about their personal acquaintances with members of the Vienna Circle. Their stories improved with time. I spent many hours listening to Paul Neurath, Otto's son. And none less than Sir Karl Popper wrote an essay, his last one ever, for the collected works of Hans Hahn, which I had been editing. I co-authored a pictorial biography of Kurt Gödel. In short, the Vienna Circle had been with me for half a century. The immediate impetus for writing this book came when I co-curated the exhibition The Vienna Circle, which was organized by the University of Vienna on the occasion of its 650th anniversary. I owe many thanks to my co-workers Friedrich Stadler, Christoph Limbeck-Lilienau, Hermann Czech, Bea Laufesweiler and Peter Weibel, as well as to Dieter Schweitzer, Falk Pastner, and Heinz Engel, the rector of the university, for their unstinting help in situations that were not always easy. I benefited greatly from the expertise of Elisabeth Nemeth, Wolfgang Reiter, Josef Hofbauer, Mitchell Asch, Matthias Bartz, Jakob Kellner, Vincent Janssen, and Helmut Veit. I owe much to Klaus Taschwer, as well as to my former student Bernhard Beham. Christian Palmers, Christian Ehalt, and Michael Stampfer were essential, each in his own way. Christos Papadimitriou, Simon Bang, Dirk van Dalen, Helmut Wieder, and in particular Bea Laufesweiler, helped with the illustrations. Ulrike Schmickler-Hirzebruch from Springer Spektrum was an ideal editor for the German version. At the Austrian National Library, I was supported by Alfred Schmidt, Andreas Fingernagel, and Julia Kamenicek. At the archive of the University of Vienna by Thomas Meisel and Kurt Mühlberger. At the library of the University of Vienna by Andrea Neithardt, Peter Graf, Alexander Zartl and Günther Müller. At the Vienna Library by Julia Danielczyk and Sylvia Mattel-Wurm. At the Austrian Academy of Science by Stefan Zinel. In the Museum for Social and Economic Affairs by Hans Hartweger. In Princeton by Don Schemer and Marcia Tucker. At Duke University by Elizabeth Dunn, and in Cambridge by Michael Neddo. I am pleased to thank my employers, the University of Vienna and the Institute for Applied Systems Analysis in Luxembourg, for their generous support. And very special thanks go, of course, to my wife, Anna Maria Siegmund, for her help, expertise, and encouragement. She happens to be a historian. The German version of the book, originally intended simply to be a catalogue of the exhibition, evolved into a companion volume. To my own great surprise, the story fell into place almost as if it were writing itself. The book was well received, and in fact it won the honour of Austrian Science Book of the Year 2016. But my ambition went further. I had always hoped most of all for an Anglo-Saxon audience. After all, the best books on Vienna come from that world. So I embarked on the adventure of rewriting my book in English, with lots of additional material, and the foolhardy hope that my Viennese accent would not show too much in print. Camilla Nielsen and Steve McManus helped a lot. Thanks to John Brockman, the founder of Edge, his son Max, and Russell Weinberger, my book proposal was accepted by Basic Books. Here, with the helpful and unerring advice of T.J. Kelleher and Helen Barthelemy, the manuscript got ready for delivery. I am deeply grateful for their work. And then, just a few weeks before the deadline, something remarkable happened. Out of the blue, I got a message from Douglas Hofstadter in Bloomington, Indiana. The author of Gödel, Escher, Bach is clearly a man of impeccable taste, for he had enjoyed the German original, and he even spontaneously proposed to write a preface for the English version, and, on top of that, to help polish the English in my manuscript. I was delighted, and so in the next few weeks he went ahead, chapter by chapter, paragraph by paragraph, sentence by sentence, word by word, letter by letter, honest. And as he sent me the revised chapters, I felt like someone watching King Midas and his magic touch. But Douglas Hofstadter did more than just add luster. Quite a few pages are entirely due to him. I will, of course, point them out in the notes to the chapters. It was an incredibly generous action. I am still at a loss to find the proper words of gratitude, and now I feel that I understand a wee bit better what Ludwig Wittgenstein meant by his phrase, the inexpressible. This concludes Exact Thinking in Demented Times by Carl Zygmunt. Narrated by Nigel Patterson. Copyright 2017 by Carl Zygmunt. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Carl Zygmunt, care of Brockman Incorporated, and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.